study today on faith. Next month we'll be going over love. And there is a very common misunderstanding on what love is, biblically anyways. And so we really want to take our time and go through and do a thorough job of what love is and who is love, and from that perspective. So if you want to know more about biblical love, come with an open heart on Sunday next month and be willing and open to allowing the Bible to influence you, even if you have to change a belief system that you previously have, right? So they're called presuppositions. And as we grow and mature in Christ, as we're ever learning and growing and knowing by experience, we find out more and more that we're having to change certain views on what the Bible is teaching, right? And one of the best ways to do that is to try our best when we're reading our Bible or studying our Bible to understand the context first. Context. What do I mean by that? Context is, who is the author of that book? Who is the original audience the author is writing to? What are they going on? What's going on in their timeline, in their culture, in their area? Right? And then be okay with, this is the truth that was written and taught to them at this time. Is this written just for my learning, which is okay? Or do I apply this to my life today? That's one of the hardest things we see in the Bible, right? Is trying to understand what is just for my learning, and that's fantastic and good, and that's fine. And what do I take and say, I need to live by this, right? It's one of the hardest things. And when we understand context, author, original audience, what's going on that time, okay, it's beyond just Old Testament, New Testament. There's four phases of the Old Testament. What one of those four phases are we going through to help us understand, right? So, as we're going through on faith, we'll continue our study, we'll close it down today, and we should, by the time we're done today, have a good understanding of faith, what it means, the person of our faith, the object of our faith, and what it means for us moving forward. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful and thankful for Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith, the Alpha and the Omega. And Lord, it's just exciting to see in that while we were yet sinners, you died for us. And not just died, Lord, but rose again 3 days later. What an amazing truth. Lord, we're excited to get in your word today. We're excited for this, the music that we sing. And it's what a true song. We're living by faith. And Lord, as we go through the scriptures today, I pray that you would guide us and direct us. Every one of us, Lord, is in a different walk, in a different phase of our maturity, through different experiences and things that we were taught. And Father, you know your children best, for this is your church, these are your children. And I ask that as we go through this study, that you would enlighten truth to them, that they not only would learn, but that they would grasp certain truths for understanding, and that it would change the way they behave to be that much more conformed to your image. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so to recap, the last 3 weeks, we talked about Abel, Enoch, Noah, and Abraham there in Hebrews chapter 11. Nothing about Jesus, nothing about the law. There's no law during that time. Nothing about the nation of Israel or a coming Messiah, but they had a belief, right? We see throughout Scripture over and over and over, the just live by faith. Faith, in and of itself, is a persuasion or a conviction. I am persuaded, I am convicted, I am assured, okay? I have a belief, and it affects the way I behave, it affects the way I think, it affects the way I do things in my life. So, in the Old Testament, back in Genesis chapter 12 and beyond, which is about 2,500 years, from Genesis 1 So Genesis 12 is about 2,500 years there, okay? In that time, there's nothing about a cross, nation of Israel. It's just God, the Creator. And these men, my mind went blank. Thank God I wrote it down. There we go. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham. Okay, there's just a few people. Job could be in there also, although Job's not included in our text in Hebrews 11. But what did they believe? They believed in a Creator so much they were convicted by it. They were persuaded that there was a deity, a God, and it influenced how they behaved. Okay? It influenced how they behaved. They lived in a way that reflected a God who wanted a standard, who desired a standard. There's no sacrifices for sins at this time, nothing. All they're doing is acknowledging, yes, there's a God, yes, He's a Creator, and with that, in their conscience, they believe that there was a heavenly home. Hebrews 11 makes that clear. They're desiring a heavenly home. They weren't believing in a God Creator, living a certain lifestyle that reflected that. What came with that was we're believing that we're going to be with God forever. Not here on earth, but with Him in heaven. That was what they thought. And that's clear in Hebrews 11. All right? We talked about the object of our faith moving forward is Jesus. So our faith, yes, it includes a Creator. We looked at John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, right? We see in Colossians chapter 1 that Jesus Christ created everything. Through Jesus, He is the Creator. Genesis 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. John 1 said the Word did. Colossians 1 says Jesus is the Creator. And they're all true because Jesus is God. Just 3 months ago, we went over Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. So God, the spirit form, put on a physical body. Physical body, okay? Our faith, our conviction, our persuasion is in Jesus, right? So when we start looking at faith in a person, on who He is, what He is, how He is, why He is, it helps us with our purpose, with our meaning, our significance, our value, our understanding of our position in Christ. And you'll start to notice it's less about faith as seen as what might happen in the future. That's a part of faith. That's a part of faith, but that becomes less and less. What I'm more filled with, what's consuming me, is the object of my faith, which is Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit being in me, and when the fruits of the Spirit to come out of me, right? It's less on praying for something to happen, or a bad circumstance comes my way, and I'm just going to faith my way through it. It becomes less and less of that. Because the more I understand who Jesus is, I understand Romans chapter 5. That all trials, God does not author, but He allows so that I, through my faith, believing in Jesus, as I go through this trial, it produces patience. Which, thank God. And patience produces character. And character, hope. And hope is not ashamed of my faith. So whether I want a positive outcome or not to happen, because I'm believing by faith in a positive result, I don't care because the positive result are those three things. If those three items, patience, character, and hope, are important to Jesus, and my belief is in Jesus, then those three characters, those three items are important to me. Whether I get the outcome I want or not, because the outcome isn't on this trial going away, my cancer being healed, my broken leg being mended, my pain going away, my fill in the blank. And it's the outcome of Jesus producing character, patience, and hope. That's the outcome. That's important to me. Now, I can have a desire for that outcome, right? Money coming in to pay an unexpected bill. But it becomes less of that and more focused on Jesus. We learned that this last week. Now we're going to go through, you know, we talked about continuing in the faith, and that was items like the shield of faith or the breastplate of faith as I continue growing in Jesus, right? Which, if I'm going to continue in the faith, I have to start. I have to start. To go forward, I have to start. And I have to be careful that on my unexpected stops, because most of us stop at some point, and we pick it back up and we stop. And pick it back up and we stop. Most of us do that. And the more and more I get more conformed to Christ's image, the more and more I mature in Christ, those starts and stops stop. And I keep going, and I keep going, and I keep going. There are less stops. Now, if I were to ask you right now to think about throughout my Christian lifehood, since I've been saved, since I've received Christ, have I noticed some starting? Don't raise your hand. Don't shake your head. I'm actually going to close my eyes. Have you noticed times in your life where you were on fire for God and stopped? You were doing things well for Christ and you stopped. You were consumed with the Bible, the Lord, Bible truths, and being used of God and stopped. That happens. Now, I'm not going to sit up here or stand up here and put that down. That happens to people. What I'm concerned with is the long-term journey. I'm more concerned in the high-yield dividend stocks. You don't see the result right now. I'm about compound interest, right? I'm about compound interest. Years and years and years of it growing and multiplying and growing. Oh, it dipped, but it came back up. Oh, it dipped, it came back up higher. And it dipped, it came back up higher. I want to be used of the Lord to help everybody else keep on going. So when I continue in the faith, what that means is there are people who stop following Jesus. They will still believe in Jesus, but they're stopping being conformed to his image. They stopped being concerned about biblical truths. They've stopped having him the preeminent number one in their life. So to continue in the faith, I have to make it a point. I have to practice it. I have to make sure I take time for it. Just like anything, I got to schedule it, right? And the more and more I do that, the more and more it will become a habit and a way of life. Now we're going to look at when I follow after faith or when I continue in the faith, what accompanies that? What will I notice coming along for the ride? What will I notice with that? What can I see in someone else as they continue in the faith? Okay? So let's get an example of this in the book of Acts chapter 6. Great man of God here who had a very, very short ministry. I think it was 6 months. Maybe less. Here in Acts chapter 6, we're introduced to a man named Stephen. And Stephen had some things here. Stephen filled a role to help with some widows who were overlooked in the distribution. And they had people that needed to help out. So they looked for some godly men. Here in chapter 6 and verse number 5, it says, "And what was said pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, who was a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit." We also notice in verse number 8, "Now Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people." So when I look at it in a person, when I see "full of faith" and then what's said afterwards, that grabs my attention. What does "full of faith" look like? The Holy Spirit. Power. Holy Spirit and power. Now, when someone's full of the Holy Spirit, here's what you'll see: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance, just self-control. You'll see those things. When someone has power, it's a life lived in a yielding and not afraid to talk about spiritual truths. They have power. They have restraint. They're mature. They don't run away from people who are challenging their belief system. They're Jesus. Now, they don't cause fights. They don't promote fights. They're not angry and wrathful and vengeful and standing up for truth they're doing it out of anger and out of pride. No, they're controlled. They have power. And a lot of power is seen not in what's being done, but what that person's allowing not to do. I don't have to blow up and yell at somebody who's acting unsaved because they're unsaved. Or an immature believer who doesn't understand Jesus yet, they're living like an immature believer. But they're 60 years old. Yeah? Not in Jesus, they're not. In Jesus, they're 6 months old. And what do six-month-olds want? Food, change me, sleep. Sounds about right, right? And how do they get that attention? They cry. They make an annoying sound, which is beautiful to us, but they make an alarm sound system just like a young believer does, right? Why would God? I can't believe. How could he? Wah, wah, wah. Not bad. Not bad. Unlearned. And as they grow, those babies start talking to us and asking questions. And there's a phase in a baby's life where they talk and talk and ask 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 and ask. Like in a believer's life. As they grow, what about this? Well, what about this? Well, then what about that? Well, then what about this? Well, then what about that? How does it affect this? Well, what do I do with that then? Right? Same thing in a believer's life. Same thing. What we're noticing from Scripture is, as people have continued, as they've grown, you'll see people that are living in the faith for years. The proper things you'll see is power and full of the Holy Ghost. Full of the Holy Ghost is seen in the fruits of the Spirit. That power is seen in discernment. In discernment. There's power, a lot of power in discernment, in wisdom, in knowledge, experience. Experience might not be "I've been through that," but I have three verses from the Bible that can help you through that. A lot of us haven't experienced what young believers experience, what they've gone through. Doesn't matter. I don't need to try and relate. I don't need to try and relate to that. What I do is be the conduit for that believer to get with Jesus, who can relate. He was tempted in all points like we were, yet without sin. He bore our griefs and our sorrows, Isaiah 53 says. So I might not know what that sorrow is like, but I know someone who does. Let me help guide you to him. Does that make sense? That's power. That's full of the Holy Ghost. not an experience. I've never experienced that stuff before, some things, but I can bring you to someone who has and teach them. What else do we see? We'll also notice, like in 2 Corinthians 10:15, that people's faith will increase. It'll increase. Paul says, well, we'll go ahead and go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And verse 15. We are not boasting of the things beyond our measure and other men's labors, but we have hope that when your faith, the Corinthian believers, when your faith is increased, the byproduct will be our region shall be greatly enlarged by you to preach the gospel in regions beyond you and not boast in other men's accomplishments. A lot to unpack here, but I'll summarize. What's happening is that Paul is desiring to preach beyond the area of Corinth and larger areas. And what's going to help Paul and other believers get the gospel beyond them is that they start increasing in their faith. Corinth was a baby church that needed a lot of training wheels. So a lot of things at Corinth are not for us today. We don't need those training wheels. They have training wheels to help them grow, and as they grow, as they increase, other areas will go, wow, those of the way, when Paul referred to believers as a whole, he did not call them Christians or disciples, or believers, he said, those of the way. Those of the way, as they increase in their faith and start behaving and acting out those truths that Paul is teaching them, a byproduct will be they can go out and preach the gospel further. Because their actions, their behavior is confirming Jesus. It's confirming their faith. It's confirming when Christ is in you, he can conform you into his image. Right now, they're kind of struggling with some sins. And as they get rid of those sins and go beyond there, it can help get the gospel out. It's just like here. As we all increase in our faith, increase in knowing Jesus more, experience him more, okay? As we allow Christ's opportunities to flow through us to help others, as we do that more and more, people will start noticing, hey, those of the way do these things. They're kind, they're gentle, they're not proud and arrogant, want to argue and fight. They're helpful, they're generous. They think of others over themselves. But it takes time, right? They have to increase in that, increase. So we'll see people, as we move further in our faith, we'll be full of the Holy Ghost, we'll be full of power, okay? And we'll continue to increase in the object of our faith, and that's Jesus. We'll know more and more of who he is, what he is, how he is. We'll know more and more of his will. We'll have less and less this. I don't know why God's doing this. That won't even fit in our vocabulary anymore. We'll say, I know why. Here's biblically why. I'll have more and more answers. I'll have more and more confidence. I'll be more and more persuaded. I'll have more and more convictions. I'll have more and more joy. I'll have more and more. I cannot help but talk about Jesus. People who do not increase in their faith don't talk about Jesus. People who increase in their faith and grow talk about Jesus. It's increasing and growing in Christ. Increasing in our faith is seen more and more behavior acting like Christ and language speaking about Christ. So if you're around people that say, well, I'm a Christian, and yet you're around them all the time, and they don't talk about Christ, they might be born again going to heaven, but they're not increasing in the faith. Increasing in the faith is not every Sunday I go to a building. That's not increasing in the faith. It's what do I do with the information that I get from coming to the building? What do I do with the information when Betty gives me a Bible verse that encourages me? Holy smokes, I did not know that. They just told me I know that verse. She explained it to me. Man, I know that. It's now, what do I do with the information? That's increasing in my faith. Getting information isn't it. Coming somewhere isn't it. It's what am I doing afterwards? That's the increase. Who am I helping? Who am I sharing with? How am I getting this out of me? That's the increasing. All right, we'll stand together for our second song. All right, continuing on here. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. What else will accompany someone who's keeping the faith, growing in the faith, continuing in the faith? What will accompany that? We'll also see a desire to bring unity to the body, a desire for unity. We see here in Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 13, Ephesians 4:13, until we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, into a complete man, to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. We'll see the body of believers, as we continue on, we'll notice over time that we'll look at Jesus and our relationship, not just between us two, but between me and others. Right? So as I'm growing in my personal walk, it's not just about me and what I'm going through, my struggles, my problems, my trials, my tribulations, and then the church I go to is the other things that I receive. It kind of becomes more holistic, right? So as I continue to grow in the faith, I'll start seeing, wow, I'm learning these things, I'm living these things out. I am now becoming evidence of proving God right, of proving God true. I want to share this with someone else in my local assembly. So when we come to a designated time on Sunday to be here together, the purpose isn't to worship. Now, I know that sounds like blasphemy, but if you read the New Testament, you'll never see a gathering together of believers and worship mentioned. The word worship is never in connection with a church service. Interesting, isn't it? But what is mentioned? Ephesians 4 is one of the most beautiful pictures of what a church, the way, believers should be doing when they come together. And it is this: I have been given a gift. I have a spiritual gift that allows Christ to flow through me to influence you and you and you. The Jesus in me wants to help that Jesus in you. Now, it's not like Jesus helping Jesus, as it is my perceived idea of the limitations of Jesus, or my perceived idea of my circumstance. So when I'm around someone that has the gift of faith, they can see beyond my circumstance so far, and there is a conviction, there is a belief, there is a, I know that this can happen, so much that this person is actually acting out in their life right now as if that's true to them now. So the thing they're praying for to happen, they're living now as if it's happened. That's a gift of faith. No limitations in the context of Jesus. Right? No limitations. I believe that God in His will, knowing these truths, can do this. I'm convinced of it. Now, whether He will or won't is up to Him, but I'm convinced He will and can, and I'm going to live right now as if it's true. Boy, you can't help but walk away from that person going, I feel great. I feel great. Or an encourager, right? Someone has to get them encouragement. They can come alongside you, and either through their experience, you can just tell them, you know, man, I had a hard week. I feel like Satan was tempting me in this area a lot this week. Hey, you know what? I've been there. Here's what God used to help me. Let me share with you 3 Bible verses. Absolutely. You got it. And that person walks out with 3 verses of ammunition that can quench the fiery darts of the devil. And you use of God to help them. Right? All the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, Ephesians 4 are to be used here. It's less about you sitting and hearing truths explained to you and more about you being used of God to help through your experience to help others. Galatians 6, bear one another's burdens. Romans 13, Romans 14 talks about encouraging and helping the weaker brother. It's not bad to be a weak brother or sister. It's not bad to be down and out. That's not bad. It's not bad that you don't always learn things in the Bible. That's why God gave the gift of teachers. It's not bad. He has a process. He has a way of doing things that we're all humbly a part of. Colossians 12 talks about the pinky on the foot, talking about, well, I'm not the eye. Doesn't matter. You serve your purpose. And it's a beautiful purpose. It's a perfect purpose. So if that's the gift that God gave you, that's the gift that God gave you to use for His glory. Whether you get any recognition or not. Yeah, being a pinky toe, most of the time in people's people talk about that. I hear about all kinds of physical problems. You hear about all kinds of physical problems, right? You hear about all kinds of great things. Man, I'm glad that my eyesight is good today. I'm glad that my knee's doing better. How many times has anybody ever talked about their pinky toe? Good or bad? And yet, it has a purpose, doesn't it? Same thing with coming to church, right? No one might talk about you at all, good or bad. And yet you're accomplishing so much for God's kingdom. God recognizes it. God understands it. And when you go between God, the judgment seat of Christ, and you'll answer for how well you were at pinky toe. At the end of the day, it's all that matters. At the end of the day, it's all that matters. So, we have a purpose in coming here. And we help those that are increasing in faith will increase in unity and decrease in division. Increase in unity. Someone who is growing in the faith will decrease in causing division. Next one we see here in Matthew 17, we see a story for the sake of time. I'll just summarize it. Christ is up on the Mount Transfiguration. They come down, and at that same time Christ was up there on the mountain, with Peter, James, and John, there was a boy who was demon-possessed, and the disciples, the other apostles, couldn't cast that demon out. And they had previously been able to cast out demons. And so Christ comes down, and he says, O you of little faith, how long shall I be with you? Bring the boy to me. And he cast the demon out. And the disciples ask, why couldn't we cast him out? And he said, because of your unbelief. You were going through the motions. You were saying things in my name. And yet, there was no power behind it. It's like someone coming to church just because they have the routine and leave going, I don't learn anything. Yeah, you didn't have any belief coming in here that A, you're going to be used of God to help someone, or B, that you were going to learn something. So you walk out going, That's on you. That's pretty scary to think about. Oh, you of little faith. This kind only goes out by prayer and fasting. Faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you can say this mountain, be removed, and it'll be removed. Now, mustard seed in the mountain are the objects, and it's a story on any problem that seems too big for mankind. A faith that starts small and the mustard seed grows and is able to now help benefit animals that come into it, birds and things, you can do that too. Your faith can start small, but it has to grow. It has to increase to where you can say this problem be removed. Now, that circumstantial problem might still be there, but it's not affecting your view of God, your purpose in life, how God values you, you're going to continue to grow whether you get the outcome you desire or not. Because the outcome isn't focused on your result you're wanting, but at bare minimum, patience, character, and hope. That's your focus. That's what I'm focused on. So a faith is simply seeing also someone who's continuing to increase and grow. They start seeing trials, tribulations, and problems as opportunities. Opportunities for what? To prove God right. That's the testing of your faith. Testing isn't a pass or fail. Testing is, if I continue doing this, I'll prove God right that He'll never leave me nor forsake me, that I can have joy, that I am going to get produced patience, character, and hope. I'll have those things. I'm going to prove God right. And at the end, it's like gold being refined, right? Has anybody ever heard about your faith being tested? Anybody ever heard of that? Okay, hands down. That testing is not a pass-fail. It's not a pass-fail. God, James 1, cannot tempt you to do evil. God's not dangling problems over you. Here's a problem here. Here's a problem here. How are you going to do? How are you going to react? He doesn't do that. He allows Satan to have his way. He allows the world, flesh, and devil to have his work. And you, in your will, can say, here's what I know about God. I'm going to live and act on these truths today. You know what all that Abraham, Enoch, Noah, Job, all they had was an understanding that there was a creator God. They did not have. You are privileged to have Christ in you. We can have the mind of Christ, the Bible tells us. We can have that. What you put into your faith is what you'll get out. What you put in to your faith. What we've got to be careful of is me thinking I'm good to go in my faith and now nitpicking others about their faith. Well, if you believe God, or if you believe this, or if you believe that, whoa, whoa, whoa. Time out. Hold the phone. Let them have their faith and let them learn and grow. Them have their faith, them learn and grow. If you want to come alongside and be useful and helpful and encouraging, that's one thing. But to nitpick and put down and say, well, about that. One of the most common misunderstandings in the Bible is taking a verse out of context that says this, and you will know them by their fruit. And that fruit being, you'll know a believer by how they live their life. That is not true. That verse in the Old Testament in Matthew, Jesus says, you will know false teachers by their fruit. Nowhere in the New Testament does it say, you'll know a believer by their fruit. And now people start doubting their faith. Well, then they must not have believed in Jesus. Well, that's the entire New Testament, my man. Do you know why? Every time Paul or Peter or John corrects a believer on, hey, you're doing these sins, they don't say, you're not saved. They say, you are saved. This is why you shouldn't do these things. You are born again. This is why you shouldn't do these things. All things are passing, behold, all things are new. Paul never questions someone's salvation. Do you guys know that? Peter never questions somebody's salvation. He doesn't say, are you saved? He says, you're saved. Stop that. That's what he says. Christ is in you. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? That verse means I can continue in sin because grace will abound. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Hey, you're dead to sin and your position, and since that's true, you shouldn't live in sin. So now people's faiths are now doubted. Now that person who's told that hey, you know what? You really shouldn't do that because you'll know them by their fruit, and your fruit showing that you're not a Christian. Are you a Christian? Are you saved? Man, I don't know. I guess not. Can you imagine being responsible for God's child on doubting if they're saved or not? I am afraid of how I'm leading God's children here who know they're saved, let alone be used of Satan to mess up one of God's children to confuse them. What a fearful thing. What a fearful thing to criticize one of God's kids. If you're going to judge someone, you'll have righteous judgment. And righteous judgment looks at, hey, they're doing these things. How can I help? I've been there. I've done that. I can see why they would do that. Oh, I understand. And my heart's burdened for them. I love them. Not criticize and nitpick. When someone increases in their faith, they look for how they can help, not how they can divide. How they can nitpick and be critical. So, this whole month on faith, we've been given quite a few different perspectives. All in, though, the object, the person of our faith, and that is Jesus. So our faith is stemming from who's in me and my view of him, how he views me. It's less on things I desire to happen and more on whatever's happening to me, I stay consistent. I'm always growing. I want to yield. I'm looking for what I can know, how I can grow. And along the way, I'm looking to who's coming with me? How can I help? Who can I come alongside and be with? That happens here. As we grow in our maturity and as we start to understand more and more about the purpose of a fellowship on coming together, the more and more all of us will get, we'll start favoring, as if we haven't already, we'll start favoring our fellowship time just as much as our Bible teaching time. We'll start saying equally, man, I was talking to Sherry and this happened. I was talking to Bob and he told me about this. And I was talking to Rachel about this. And man, I just feel like I can conquer the world. What about the Bible lesson? Yeah, that was good too. But man, when Barry's saying this and when Julie was saying that. If there's ever a place where we can share what Christ is doing in our life, it's here on Sunday mornings. If there's a place where you can come and say, man, I am struggling in this area, or I'm confused about this, or man, I'm going through a tough time, can you help me? It's here. It's here. And that's why we designed 1045 to 1105 for that purpose. That's how valuable it is to us for our gifts to be given. 1045, 1105. Praying with someone, encouraging someone, sharing with someone. So that all of us together can grow in our faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for being good to us today. Lord, I know personally I've really enjoyed looking at your word on this perspective of faith. I pray that all of us would be encouraged by not just what we've learned, but what we've been able to experience, how we can share with others these same truths. And Lord, allow us to just be that much more convinced and persuaded and being obedient to you, yielding to you, giving up our rights to you, allowing you to influence us for your honor and for your glory. Allow us to be that much more convinced and persuaded to conform to your image and to love you that much more. We ask these in Jesus' name. Amen.